come. As we come to your word, Lord, I ask that you would use it for your glory, Lord, that you would speak through me, that you would get me out of the way, Lord. Father, we're speaking about prayer. We need to hear from you this morning. Father, you know, Lord, that this is an area where we are all growing in. Father, where we are learning. And I just pray that we would be humble of spirit right now to learn more from your word. Lord, none of us have all the answers. And thank you, Lord, that you do. And we go to the one who does have the answers. And so as we come before you, God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would put a covering over us right now, Lord. That we would have a spiritual covering, that the enemy would have no place here. Father, that our minds would be free to hear from you. Father, that all the attacks of the enemy to drive our minds on other things, Lord, would be taken away. Lord, we thank you that you love us, that you are interceding for us, that you are praying for us. And Lord, as we come before you, we ask that those prayers would be bountiful right now, Lord. Father, thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you, Lord, that it's your truth that sets us free. So we are dependent on you, Lord, for everything. So, Father, I pray that you would give us hearts of children, being teachable, being looking to our Father with awe and wonder. Lord, speak to us for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Whew. Well, I tell you, it's prayer is quite a thing, isn't it? Prayer is an opportunity for us to be in intimate conversation with God. And as we continue on in our series here, one of the things that I really want to encourage us is, how are we doing with this in the series? Did anybody get a chance this past week to spend some time in your spiritual journal? Anybody get a chance? Yeah? Whew. My encouragement is really make it a priority. Really make it a priority. And this week, we're going to be looking at prayer. Each day, there's a section of scripture that's pretty small for us to read and go through. And it's a chance for us to then spend some time just chewing on that scripture for the whole day and be thinking about it and going back to it. But I want to encourage you, spend some time looking through, going through the journal, answering the questions, being real before God. Encourage you to be real open and honest before God as you go through it. But today is prayer, learning to listen and respond. Guys, why is it that prayer can be intimidating? You know, as we go through today, can I have elders where you're seated? Go ahead and raise your hands. Go ahead and raise your hands. Look around right here. Okay, if there's a time, Elder Aaron is by the door there. If there's a time, any time during the message where God is leading, as we're talking about prayer, God is speaking to your heart and you need to pray and you're feeling led to pray with someone else, please go find Aaron right at the doorway there and go into the room and pray with him. If you feel more comfortable going to another elder who raises his hand, who you're sitting closer to, find him and pray with him. I want to encourage us. I don't want today just to be a day of hearing and learning about prayer. That's important, but I also want it to be what we experience together. And so be open to the Holy Spirit as he's leading you. Be willing to follow him. But I wanted to start with this question of, why is it that prayer can be intimidating? What do you think? Have you ever been intimidated to pray? I know I've had people come up to me and say, I didn't feel like my prayers were enough, Pastor, so I wanted to come to you since you're the pastor so that you can pray for me. I've had other people say, I'm pretty sure God doesn't hear me because of my sin. And so could you pray for me? There's a lot of reasons why in our heads that we can be intimidated by prayer, isn't there? We can feel unqualified to come before a holy God. I mean, look at our lives. Are our lives holy? Are our lives perfect? No. And when we come into prayer, we're coming into the presence of a holy, perfect God. And there should be an element of, oh, God, help me. There should be an understanding of his holiness and our lack of holiness. But is God sovereign? Sovereign means, you know, he knows everything. He's all powerful. He's in control of everything. Nothing is outside of his knowledge. And if we pray to a sovereign God, I mean, really, is prayer necessary if God is sovereign? I've had a number of people through the years come and say, you know, if God knows everything, why do we pray? If he's all powerful, if he's moving, why do I need to pray? I don't know if you noticed on the board out there and in your bulletins, it says prayer is learning and listening, learning to listen and respond. Prayer is not telling God what to do. So if he is sovereign, we don't need to tell God what to do. You're correct in that part. But if prayer is learning to listen and respond and join in with him, man, there's something beautiful about prayer. But does God really listen and does God really change things? I mean, if God is sovereign, does he really hear our prayers and respond to our prayers? Because, you know, one of the things that we're going to be, the main area of prayer that we're looking at today is intercession. And that means praying for others and ourselves and asking God for something. And going on to him on behalf of others and praying and asking him to change things in our lives, in our loved ones' lives. So, if God is sovereign, will he really change to hear and respond to our prayer? Well, let's look at some scripture for some of those answers. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive. Anybody here ever prayed a prayer and it didn't get answered the way that you were expecting? Or when you were expecting? Or maybe you've been praying for years on something and you've never seen an answer to the prayer. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Guys, if you're unwilling to change, if we're unwilling to change, then we're going to be unwilling to pray. Because prayer means change for us. Prayer means us coming into the presence of God and hearing from him, and it requires a willingness to say, God, I don't have the answers. I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to respond here. My reaction says this, but the Holy Spirit, God, you in me is pushing me in a different direction, and I don't know how fully to respond to that. And so when we come in prayer and intercession, it's saying, God, not only change the people that I'm praying for in their circumstances, but it's changing their hearts and their minds and changing my mind and my heart to desire the things that you desire. Prayer is opening ourselves up to God to be transformed. We've got to be willing to say, God, change me. You know, if you're praying for your marriage, it's real easy for me to say, God, please, please work on Julie in this way, and then this way, and in this way. But what if God is asking me to say, God, change my heart, God, so I can be a better husband, so I can hear her needs from you. Change me from the inside out so I can respond to you, so I can know how to pray for my wife. Because God will lead us not only in things with us, but he'll lead us in how to change our prayers for others. We'll get into that more in a little while. To pray with right motives involves a transformed mind and heart. And guys, that means that without the Holy Spirit transforming us, changing us, making us like Him, we are not going to be praying prayers that get answered. Because what does it say here? When you ask, you do not receive. So does God answer prayer? Does He give us sometimes what we ask for? Yes. But what prevents us from getting what we ask for? Well, it says here, because when you ask, we ask with wrong motives. And we ask for the motives that of how it affects me. Anybody here ever pray a good prayer for the blessing of somebody else, but your motives, as you looked at it later, weren't where they needed to be? God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this now. And then you look back and you're, God, where were you? Where are you now? You didn't do what I asked. And there's that, who's in charge in that conversation? Me. I'm demanding things of God and then punishing God, annoyed with God and punishing Him and being irritated with Him because He didn't answer things the way I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. I was praying a good prayer for somebody else. So prayer means thinking more like God. Being transformed. 1 John 14:12 through 14 puts it this way. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these. Does anybody know who's speaking here? Jesus. Now with that context, let's start at the beginning again. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. What are some of the works He's been doing up to this point? Has He been healing people? Has He been actually healing people physically? Has He been speaking to the hearts and souls of people and seeing not only physical change, but hearts change before Him? Hearts being softened. Whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. I got to tell you, I read that. And part of my response, honestly, before God is, oh. You see, there's part of me that struggles in my faith to believe that. There's part of me that struggles. Guys, can we be honest? Faith isn't this thing that's wonderful and it's clear and it's so easy as Christians. And we just, sometimes faith is hard. And working out our salvation, living out our faith, we've got to be honest before God. And I know I'm the pastor and I'm so supposed to sound really spiritual, but I struggle at times in my walk. And I need God to transform me daily because I keep getting in the way. And when I come to a scripture like this where God says, you'll do these things and even greater, part of me is slow in responding in faith. When you read that scripture, does it just bring delight or is there some concern? Well, honestly, let's look at our prayer lives. They will do even greater things than these. Why? How? Because I am going to the Father. Guys, guess what? There's good news here. It's not on us. It's not the weight that we have to carry. You don't have to get more spiritual in yourself, in your walk with God, to be able to have the kind of faith that transforms, that goes to God in prayer and sees prayers answered. You don't have to be, you know, sometimes we look at through the Bible and we see all these amazing men and women of faith. And oh my goodness, it's overwhelming to look at them sometimes because you think, but then I'm encouraged because I also read through a little bit more of the scripture and I see David, a man after God's own heart. Well, what do we know about David? Well, he was an adulterer and a murderer and a liar and a jerk at times, self-centered, a man after God's own heart. Why? One of the things I see with David, one of the things that separates David from the king before him, Saul, was even though it took a couple years, in times of serious sin in his life, David, when presented with that sin before him, David repents of his sin. Saul says, okay, I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to get things done my way. Saul's heart gets harder when confronted with the truth of God. David, a king, is broken before God. Man. Guys, one of the things that's needed for prayer is to know that it's not by our own strength that we will God to move. If we're holy enough, God will move on our behalf. So I'm going to be really holy. I talked to a pastor one time and he says, the most important thing for me was to be the most holy person in the area. And my heart broke because he was making it all about him rather than God. How can we do these things that Jesus has done and even greater? Because I am going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Just think about it. Because he's going to the Father, and he's going to do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. So I want to ask this question. When we read the scripture, you may ask what in my name? Anything. Anything with what? That we put it to, in the context with the other verses and what we just read. In God's will. Anything in the heart of God, because it's not in our own strength, but anything in God's truth and strength. So as we pray, our prayer needs to first be, change me, God. Change my heart so I can see with your eyes, your ears, so I can have your heart and your mind and know your will. We'll get back to that knowing your will in a little bit too. Prayer transforms our wants and desires. It's easy to get discouraged in prayer right away. Guys, as we talk about prayer, and as you guys are going to go and work through your journals and go through prayer, one of the things that's going to be happening is the enemy, who's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, is going to be hitting us the moment. He's going to be hitting us with doubt right now, but we've prayed for a covering. He's going to be hitting us when we leave. When we start to pray, he's going to bring up things that bring in fear and discouragement. And we claim our position in Christ. And we go back to the truth. I'm not praying on my holiness, my self-righteousness. I'm praying because I'm a child of God, and I'm praying in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, transform my mind and heart, so that I can pray and hear from you, so I can pray right for the people around me. Guys, we're told people don't change, right? You can't teach a dog, old dog, new tricks. That's a pretty well-known saying. But if prayer is real, then you can, God can teach old dogs new tricks. Maybe we can't, but God can. Maybe the first old dog that God wants to change in prayer is the one that's speaking to him. Yeah. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. Does that mean we just need a tagline of in Jesus' name? Lord, I really want this new car. In Jesus' name. Right? Name it. Claim it. You know, in Jesus' name, it doesn't. Don't all? I just have to put the tagline in on and on the end, and I'm good. I get what I want. That's not what it's saying at all. And yet, from many pulpits, and I know from many pulpits this morning, that lie is going out to the people. Name it and claim it. Guess what? We don't get to tell God. We don't get to demand and name what we want and claim, but we do get to ask for whatever is on our hearts that Christ has put there. And so in prayer, how do I grow in hearing from God to know the mind and the will of God? How do I grow so that my desire in prayer is to seek God's will? I want to ask you this.
Do you believe your prayers can change what God is doing? Okay, I phrased it that way for a reason, because I knew I would get different responses. Now, do we have any examples of where people come before God and they pray and they say, God, just hear me and respond in this way? And God says, okay. Well, God, can you even respond in this way? Okay. Well, can you even respond in this way? You see, God's in God. We tend to think of a sovereign God as one who is not in communion with us, who's not in relationship. But if this is a true relationship between us and God, now, does it change his sovereignty? No. But is God willing to respond to help us come along? Absolutely. And so, the reason I phrased it that way is because that's where so many of us come, is, do I really believe that my prayers make a difference? Because if they don't, guys, if there's nothing that happens in prayer, but prayer is intimacy with our Father. Prayer is intimacy with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know that we're hearing from Him and we are speaking to Him. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are co-workers in God's service. Think about that. We are what? What's a co-worker? People who work together, right? So we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. We are working with our Lord to determine how things will work out. Guess what? God is using us to do His will. We're co-workers with Him. And so when we're praying for somebody else, when we're interceding for others and interceding and praying, God is now bringing us into the process of co-worker. How many times, guys, this has happened to me over and over again. It's one of the things, honestly, at times I don't like about prayer, if I can just speak honestly. And that is this. When I pray and I hear from God and I'm praying in the Spirit and I'm praying hearing from God, God is saying, okay, now Matthew, I want you to get off your rear end and go do. Do you know what it requires of me? Effort. Because sometimes, often, when I pray, He's saying, I hear you. And part of my response is going to be through you. So it requires us to be co-workers, willing to say, okay, send me. Okay, use me. That's scary. Anybody ever be called by, have you ever been called by God to do something and you're starting to move forward and you take a few more steps and you start to, whoo. Anybody ever go from not sweating to sweating in about 0.5 seconds? Because God is asking you to step out in faith and move forward in the prayer that you've been praying and be part of the co-worker, a part of the answer to the prayer. Because you were hearing from God. You were praying according to the Spirit of God within you. And now He's wanting to use you. And now it requires us. Okay, God, by faith, I'm going to trust you. Praying is not something that we do from afar, guys, is what I'm saying. Prayer is intimate and personal and requires a response from the prayer because we are co-workers. It's business. It's lifting. It's heavy work. Prayer is a serious thing. It's a wonderful thing. But at times it requires something very great from us. God hears our prayers and responds. And this doesn't change His sovereignty. But it does put serious responsibility before us with Him as co-workers. Things will change if we pray right, is what the scripture said, right? With the right motives. But that means we need to hear God and respond to Him. It means we're not praying our will to be done. Do you remember a prayer from Jesus? As He's getting ready to take on the cross, Father, Jesus, saying this, Jesus, fully man, fully God, Jesus says, Father, not my will, but yours be done. See, the reality of his humanity and the suffering that was before him was extremely real. Jesus wasn't separate, somehow separated from the pain. He was intimately connected in that. Well, if Jesus can pray the prayer, not my will, but yours be done, maybe we can too. Maybe we don't have the answers. Maybe we're not as mature as we think we are and above all everybody else and thinking that we're all that spiritually. Maybe prayer requires a humility and a brokenness before God. And a God, speak to me because my flesh is getting in the way right now. I've got the enemy hitting me at one side of my flesh. I've got the world that's that brokenness before him. We need to hear from God and respond to him. But guess what? This is good news that prayer is a learning process. Anybody ever do a sport here? Yeah? Were you just an amazing, even if you were a good athlete, did you get a lot better with practice? One of the things I love, one of my favorite ball players of all time was Michael Jordan. He had more God-given ability than I would say maybe anyone. You know who was the first one there and the last one to leave? Michael Jordan. The reason somebody who was so great became even greater was because he grew. He was the student. We are talking about prayer. Maybe it's God calling. Guys, we need to be willing to grow. And guys, it's good news that we can grow in prayer. John 15:7 says this, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So if you truly come to faith and you're in my presence and my words, my truth is in you. And it's not just religious activity, but your faith is real and you're remaining in me. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Because in that growth, in that remaining in him, through that perseverance, through that growth of hearing and understanding his will, we start doing what he asks. We start responding and praying and our prayers start to change. I'll never forget when a woman shared with me who was dying slowly, and I went and prayed for healing, and her prayer was, Lord, let me suffer well. I went in a cocoon because I was so rocked by her prayer. Let me suffer well. She felt by God that she was meant to do this, but she wanted to suffer in a way. She didn't want to suffer, but she wanted to honor God. And her prayer was, change my heart first. Let me honor you, and whatever happens to me, let me honor you. That kind of prayer, when you see somebody, when you look into their eyes, and they're not just saying it, but they're saying it from their soul, it rocked me. It rocked my faith in a good way. Because I realized all I was doing was praying for my wants, and she was hearing from God and responding to him. I remember the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. It's a learning process. We have to learn and we get to grow in it. And you don't start at the end of the journey. Man, it's a process. And so I want to encourage you guys, be willing to fail in prayer. It's okay. Because it's learning. If your heart is humble and before God, you won't start off as a juggernaut of prayer with all the... But let's be willing to grow in prayer. Piece by piece, step by step. And that starts with being honest and real before God and not trying to sound holy in prayers. Not trying to stand out on the corners and, Dear Lord! Dramatic pause. Nah, right? Prayer is not about us. It's not. And so we need to be willing to grow in it. Prayer is something we learn to do, and that's pretty great. You know, in golf, you don't start hitting the birdies right off the gate. Well, maybe you'll hit a bird, but you won't hit the birdies at the beginning. The greatest golfers spend time doing it. Guys, if we are to grow in prayer, it means really practicing prayer, being willing to do some things wrong.
being willing to just be open before God, and he'll let us know. Spend some time with people who pray and hear from God. There's certain people that I've known that every time I get with them, I love to pray because I just soak in knowledge of how to pray. I soak in knowledge of how to be humble before God, of how to listen and respond. Mark 1:35-39 says, "Very early in the morning, while it is still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. When they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you. Jesus, you're doing it wrong.' Jesus replied, 'Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come.' So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." See, Jesus, as he's praying, what happens? Well, we've got to go somewhere else. We've got new things to do. They're annoyed. The disciples are annoyed with him because he's not doing what they have planned and want him to do. Everybody's looking. We now have something else. Why does he say that? Because he's been praying to the Father. Who was Jesus praying to? God the Father. Right? He was hearing. Yes, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. I don't fully understand it. I can define it theologically, but I don't fully understand it. But he was praying to hear, to know what to do, to know how to respond. There are many voices contending, making an effort to get in there for our attention. There are so many voices out there that are trying to lead us in one direction or another. There's the enemy of God. There's Satan and demons that are doing that. There's people with good hearts and good motives who are telling us the wrong things. There's people with bad hearts and bad motives telling us the wrong things. So many voices. How do we hear the right voice? Psalm 63:1 says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water." Guys, what is that saying? What's the feeling of it? Not word by word, but what is the feel of what's being said there? You're my God. I seek you earnestly. I need you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. Guess where the prayer is at in their hearts and minds? God, I need you. They're in the presence of God. They're laying themselves open before God, saying, "Speak to me. I need you. I thirst for you." Have you ever been truly thirsty, thirsting for God and needing him to speak and needing him to speak now? Guys, it requires a broken spirit before God. It requires humility. We cannot pray if we are proud. And guys, this is where Christians who have been Christians a long time have to be careful. Because as we talk about prayer, we have to understand that we're very childlike in our understanding of prayer. If you think you're a master of prayer, you're probably not. Because there is a pride there. If you think you understand, yeah, pastor's going to cry or talk to him. Pray for humility. Guys, we need to be humble before God. And if I do want to encourage you, if you've been a little annoyed that I'm going back to the basics of prayer, my only thought is maybe God has something for you in this, very specifically. But as believers, we tend to think, especially with time and years, and put on titles like elders or deacons or deaconesses or pastor. We need to be humble before God to hear from him. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst. My whole being longs for you. And I understand, man, I'm thirsty and I'm in a dry and parched land where there's no water. Where there's no what? So there's no water, you're in a dry and parched land, and you're thirsty. Where's the only place you're going to get the drink? In a dry land.
where there is no water, from the one who says, come to me and you'll never thirst again. So we have a God who gives generously, who meets us where we need to be met. We don't need to make it complicated. We need to be childlike before God and know that God is a good God who says to his children, have you ever given something to your kids and taken delight in their response to when they receive it? It truly is better to give than receive. Christmas time is so much fun as a parent. Why? Because you get to receive the response of your kids. God takes delight in giving good gifts to his children, in hearing their broken hearts and bringing healing. And guys, no matter where you are, if you're outside of faith, God loves you so much. And like we started this morning, he died on the cross for our sins as we started with communion and celebrated his death on the cross. Why did he do it? Because he loves us and he wants that intimate relationship. And if you don't know Jesus Christ and you are here today, directly after the service, go in and speak with Aaron. Guys, nothing is right if we just try harder by ourselves in our own strength. But know that Jesus died on the cross. Find an elder and find a friend who loves Jesus near you. But go and do business with God today. Don't let today go by before you speak to him and hear from him and allow him to bring you from spiritual death into spiritual life. And for those of us who know Jesus, let's be broken before God in prayer. Let's spend some time crawling and then walking before we try and run. Let's spend some time, you know, I'm just starting going back to the gym. You know, when you've been way further than the gym for a while, you go back and you think you can start off right where you ended last time. And then you hurt yourself and then you have to wait another 3 weeks before you start up again. Let's be real before God and say, we can't do it all. But Lord, teach me little by little, step by step, of what it means to be intimate with you, to hear from you. God, help me suffer well. Help me suffer well. Help me glorify you in my suffering. Let me grow in my walk. Let's stand together in prayer. We're just going to take a couple minutes here. If anybody has a prayer, just take a moment, a few seconds, and just let's lift up some prayer requests to God, some things that are on our hearts, and then I'll close when we're ready.